I'm just going to tell you something. He's bigger than every problem you're facing. He's bigger than every sickness you might have. He's bigger than every worry that's trying to creep into your mind. God is bigger. We already said it. He's an awesome God. Hallelujah. He can move mountains. He sees me in the valley. He's with me wherever I go. Amen. Amen. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We don't act like the world. We don't process things like the world. The world, they're on a roller coaster, emotional roller coaster, but you're not the world. The world has every right to frown today if their world's crumbling in or things are going bad. But see, we've got victory in Jesus. He's a steady. He's a constant. He changes not. He's already won the victory. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Young people, before you head out, I want you to be mindful of all these announcements here I'm going to make. This last Sunday, the fifth Sunday of the month, we have just the morning service, but it will be our back-to-school service. Can you believe that? It's already time for us to rally for back to school. We've got this week. This coming week is 10, 11-year-old camp. The next week is family camp. So everybody say a week from Tuesday night. Would you put that in your calendar? That is the ordination service at family camp. Your pastor is one of the ministers being ordained that night. I would love for all of you to come and be with us that night at that church camp. It's going to be a very special evening for my wife and myself, and we would love to have you there to celebrate with us. It'll be just a good camp meeting service. If you haven't been to camp for a while, you'll enjoy it. So the next week is family camp after this week. And then the next week is North American Youth Congress, where all our young people are going to be in Indianapolis, all the way up in Indianapolis this time. So it's just a bit, and then they go back to school just right shortly after that. And so, wow. Everybody say, wow. So that's the fifth Sunday, just the morning service of this month. And then next week, we'd like to make you mindful that my daughter is preparing for a missions trip. This is the one she was working on, I don't know, what was it, a couple of years ago? And then something came up, and I don't remember. I should remember. I don't remember what came up, and you didn't end up going. That's right, her age. They said, you're too young. So she had prepared. Can't remember what it was. And so she's got that money in an account that she's raised, but she needs to raise a little more. Next Sunday morning from 8:30 to 9:30 in the fellowship hall, my family will be sponsoring a little breakfast, some donuts and coffee and milk. So we're not doing the breakfast. We are doing breakfast, but it's going to be the food truck of the Tuttles. Oh, wow. She can take two mission trips with the money we're going to raise. I can go with her. Well, thank you, Brother and Sister Tuttle. So it'll be their food truck there serving, I suppose, taco salads and, I'm just kidding, breakfast type stuff. Awesome. All right. Oh, wow. Biscuits and gravy. Oh, goodness. Make sure you drink coffee with those biscuits and gravy so you're not sleeping on pastor during the service. Amen. Thank you, Brother Sister Tuttles. That's next week, 8:30 to 9:30. And then you might be noticing that we're working on putting together a little kiosk there in the entryway just to make it available for you. Some of you I know, we're getting to the point where a lot of people don't carry cash or they don't write checks. And this will make it easier for you to give your tithe, your offerings. You can just stop by the kiosk. It's not up and running yet, but it will be very soon. Now we're just waiting on the machine to arrive, and that'll be up very quickly. Brother Gary Alot will give us just a little tutorial on that when it gets here. I know everybody knows how to slide a card, but just some information you need to have on that. It's going to cost us just a little bit to slide your card. So we'd prefer if you're going to, for instance, one of the things we'll tell you is if you give a dollar, if you still give a dollar in the offering every time, if you're going to give a dollar Sunday morning and Sunday night, just go ahead and give $2 on Sunday morning, and if we only have to charge or have to be charged once for the sliding, that kind of stuff, you understand. So he'll explain those things to you. If you want to, you can up your giving even now that you're going to just sliding it through. Give $2. Wow. What would happen if you, whew, glory to God. We're oneness in everything except giving. You can give, we believe in 2, 3, 30, 50. When it comes to your offering. What was that? Legion. Yeah, there you go. Be a legion giver. And then our picnic, of course, is today, right after the service. If I ever let you go, right? You can go ahead and go, young people. We're going to meet over at Flatwoods around noon and have a great time. We'll have hot dogs, hamburgers, chicken, and you bring your side dishes and desserts, and we'll just have a great time of fellowship. We'll have some cornhole boards out there for you to play, and we'll have some organized activities for the kids. We usually get a good softball game going at some point during the picnic, and good food, good fellowship. Well, the Lord gave me something just a while ago, so let's try this. We're going to go through this together. Go to John 11. This is not what I had prepared, but the Lord knew what he's going to do. John 11. And no, I'm sorry. That's where I was going to go. Sorry. No. That's where I wanted to go. But we're going to Luke 11. And when you get to Luke 11, pardon my mistake again and go back to chapter 10. I told you, the Lord just dropped this on me. So Luke 10, just do a little sword drill with you there. Find these scriptures. It really is Luke 10 and verse number 38. We'll let you be seated here in just a moment. Now it came to pass as they went, this is Jesus and his disciples it's referring to, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered. Would you say cumbered? Interesting word. We don't use it much anymore, really, but we'll talk about that word. Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So let's just see where this takes us today. Would you put your Bibles down, reach up to heaven? Would you all together just pray? Ask the Lord to speak to us today through his word. Hallelujah. Come on, pray out loud, would you, church? Lord, we ask you to speak to us today through your word. God, anoint God, the preacher today. Help me to speak what you would have spoken into these precious people's lives in the name of Jesus. I bind every spirit that would try to hinder, try to discourage, that would try to distract in Jesus' name, God. Right now, loose your anointing to speak into our lives in Jesus' name. Would you say amen? Amen. Amen. And you may be seated in the name of the Lord. Sometimes you ever get tired of being tired? You ever been frustrated with being frustrated? You know what I'm talking about? Some of you live long enough, you know what I'm talking about. I feel like the Lord has kind of spoken to me in my spirit lately, recently about, and it's not just a few, but it's many people in his church, he says, are just troubled. They're just frustrated. And what I said a while ago from the keyboard, I didn't say that to be flippant or irreverent toward you. I really didn't. But I think if we're not careful, we start gravitating to this world and we bring that junk in our minds into the service. We're here to worship God. You're here to worship God. And listen, I don't mean to sound rude when I say this, but even if you've been arguing with your boss all week at work, when you come to the house of God, you're not here to process all that junk from work. You're here to worship God. Even if your dog, you're trying to house train your dog and he's just making messes all over the house, and even this morning you had to clean up a mess, and you get to church and all you can think about is Fido. I've talked about Fido 2 weeks in a row now, I noticed. And all you can think about is, no, you're here to worship God. and your kids have been acting up, and your kids have been disobedient, your kids have been disrespectful, but you're not here to think about that. You're here to worship God. You've been arguing with your wife or your husband, and they're driving you crazy, but you're not here to think about that. When we come in, that's why I believe that the children of Israel were instructed that when they came to worship, that they would enter his gates. And they were, the word was very careful to instruct them, you come with thanksgiving. You come with praise. And it literally does mean that there are times where we've just got to take our minds and our spirits and our hearts and just dump out all the junk. That's why I really do encourage you to get to church early and have a little time with the Lord. Because really, service, when we start singing, our God is an awesome God. That's not warm-up time. That's worship time. That's not for us to kind of, let's kind of acclimate now. We should already be acclimated. We get ready. When I got up this, I'll tell you, actually, last night I was getting ready for this morning in my spirit. Tomorrow is church. Tomorrow is worship time. Tomorrow I get to be in there. I got up this morning and I wasn't thinking about all the stuff going on in the world and politics and all that stuff. I was thinking about, I'm on my way to the house of the Lord. Now, I understand I'm in a season of my life that some of you aren't in. Some of you are still in, you're in different seasons. You are getting ready to have a baby, you and your wife. So you're in a season. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Life's about to change, amen. Some of y'all got kids. You got, how many kids did you have to get ready today to, or make sure got ready today for church? You had to think about it. Let me see. Let me add the one, carry the two. Too many, she said. Yeah, a whole bunch. So, do you have to pick out his clothes for him too? Oh, so, add one on there. All right. That's a season. They're in a season. They're in a season. Can I pick on you guys for a minute? Their getting ready to be at church today didn't look like you're getting ready to be at church today. Completely different. Isn't that weird, though? You guys sit so close together, right? And your getting ready to go to church today, you was not the same as his or theirs. Just getting here is different for some of us. Some of you go out, you hop in a car, you know when you turn the key, it's going to start because it starts every time. But some of you go outside praying in Jesus' name, Lord, let this car start. I want to go to church today. You're frustrated about your car may not start. Amen. And there are some here today, you had to pick through a whole closet full of clothes. And some of you, you thought, man, I wish I had something to wear to church. And some of you are praying for people to come to church that aren't coming to church. And some of you are getting kids ready and they're coming to church. And it's just different. Everybody has different seasons, different stories. And we come in here, all of us come in here to the same place. And before we, by the way, some of you have jobs that you love. Some of you have jobs that you don't like. And some of you wish you had a job or you're looking for a job. Just different situations, different seasons. Some of you are dealing with health things. Some of you are having surgery this coming week. You're having surgery. You come to church and you're not thinking like everybody whose body feels great and you're healthy. You're coming to church thinking, Lord, I need you to touch me. I need you to be with me. So you see what I'm saying? We just got all these. Some of you got money. You're trying to figure out what to do with your money. I'm going to invest in this, put it there, do this with it. I'm going to give extra offering this week. And some of you are thinking, man, I don't know if I'm going to have enough money to eat lunch today. I don't know if my car does break down. Everybody's different. We have all of these things. Your self-talk is completely different than your self-talk, completely different than your self-talk, completely different. And we all come in here together, together. And then the Bible says that we're together. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name. How in the world are we supposed to, I understand gathering. That's the easy part. We just show up at the same time and we're gathered. But that gathering together is the tricky part sometimes. Because I've got to get out of my bubble, you've got to get out of your bubble, you've got to get out of your head, you've got to get out of your head, and you've got to understand I'm connected to every one of these people. The one with the baby crying, that's your brother and sister over there. Amen. That's their baby crying. And so if we're not careful, because we're so frustrated about worrying about our car and our job and our money and our house, home situation and our family problem. We can come to church and we get frustrated because somebody's baby's crying. Somebody, why don't they shut that kid up? Well, you might have been in that season one time, or you might be in that season sometime, where you're just glad to get to come to church. Amen. And so we've got to get out of our heads, out of our self-thinking, and understand that's my brother. That's my brother. That's my sister. We're in this together. So rather than wishing somebody's child would be quiet, why don't you just pray, Lord, give that child peace and give that mother and father strength. And Lord, that they can just worship today and get what they need. Pray for them. You know they need prayer. If you've ever been there, you know they need prayer. But what am I saying? Here comes Jesus and his disciples, and they go to the house of whose house was it? Martha's? Mary's house? Martha, thank you. So Martha received him into her house. And she has a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha, and there's that little word, but Martha. So Mary, when Jesus comes in, and I can see Jesus comes in with all of his disciples, they all kind of find a place, they sit down, and Mary doesn't gravitate towards Simon Peter, she doesn't gravitate towards Timothy. She gravitates to the feet of Jesus because the Master is in the house. The Lord is in the house. And there was something in Mary's heart that realized that there's all of these things that I could be doing. Now, you women have a remarkable ability to just multitask in your brain. When I talk about shutting things down and putting things away, the men can nod a lot easier than the women, because women have you really struggle with that. You can sit and think about my wife can be thinking about 12 different things equally, giving them all great attention at the same time, and I marvel at that. I don't understand. Sometimes I struggle with one thing, you know, thinking about one thing very well. But she can think about a dozen things very well. And this Mary had to be thinking, okay, I know that floor needs swept. I know that she needs help in the kitchen with the baking. I know she's trying to serve hors d'oeuvres. I know that these men need this and this and that. That had to be going on in her head. But there's one thing that pressed its way to the forefront of her thinking. And that was, right now, Jesus is in the house. Jesus is in my presence. I'm in his presence. And there is something in her that realized the magnitude of the moment. And that the most important thing, one thing that was needful, and that was to be at the feet of Jesus. That's where you would find Mary. In this whole scenario, you did not have to wonder where Mary was. Find Jesus, go to his feet, there you'll find Mary. I pray that can be said of my life. I pray that it's said of your life. You want to know? You want to know where Jim Southern is? Find Jesus. Go to his feet. There he'll be worshiping. There he'll be sacrificing. There he'll be committed. There he'll be praying. There he'll be devoted. There he is worshiping. You don't have to wonder where Jim Southern is. I just randomly picked Jim Southern, but that's a good description of Brother Southern. He's steady. He's solid. I don't have to wonder where he is. When I pray for Brother Southern, I don't pray, God, help him not to cuss today on his job. I don't have to pray that kind of, Lord, help him not to fall into alcohol. Now, if that's things you struggle with, I'm not knocking you. I'm just saying, I know Brother Southern. Things I need to pray about Brother Southern are not those things just flip-flopping and wishy-washy. And Lord, help him to believe today. Help him not to waver in his faith today. Help him not to start going, you know, believing in some false doctrine today. Help him not to be gossiping today. When I pray for Brother Southern, I know, find Jesus, go to his feet, there he is. Sunday morning, I know where he'll be. Sunday night, I know where he'll be. Wednesday night, I know where he'll be. Amen? I bump into him and his family, his wife out somewhere. I don't have to wonder what kind of reception I'm going to get. I don't have to worry about how they're going to be behaving or acting. They're the same here as they are there. They're just real people, and that's what I'm talking about. Mary, don't mean to embarrass you, brother, but I hope I can brag on you without embarrassing you. I can say that about many of you. But the point is, Mary You didn't have to wonder where Mary was. Is she in the kitchen? Is she in the living room? Is she out back doing something? Find Jesus, you'll find Mary at his feet. Because she understood that even with all of the other troubles and problems and cares and worries, that when Jesus is here, you go to his feet. You worship him. And that's the sign of a true worshiper. I thank God for a church where we have so many wonderful ministers, so many wonderful volunteers, workers. Right now in this service this morning, I don't know, I could count them real quick, but we got one on live streaming, we got one running the screen, we got somebody running sound. There's three right up there that you don't give any thinking to. We got one, two, three, four instruments besides myself, five or six praise singers. What are we up to? 11, 12, 13, 14 or so. There's 14 right here that we don't often think about, that they're really serving during the service. We got greeters in the back, what's 17? We got ushers, 20. We got Sunday school, I don't even know. I'm embarrassed to tell you how many children's workers we've got going on over there right now. I would estimate, count them all up, probably a dozen or more over there right now that are serving. Thank God for all of those people. And we've got other people, behind the scenes people doing stuff all the time. Thank God for volunteers and people that are avail themselves of the service of God. However, we praise singers and musicians, we get here a little early before the service. We try to go over what we're going to sing. We get a plan. We go over our parts. But come 9:45, they all know we're not practicing now. This isn't rehearsal now. Amen. Thank God for Sister Shelley Alott, who's our secretary, and does a great job with our books and our money and all that stuff. But come 9:45 on Sunday morning, I understand during church service, some people they are doing some clerical stuff that has to be done at that moment. But tonight, if we were having church tonight at 5:45, she's not in the office doing books at 5:45. Amen. Sister Michelle's not running the vacuum cleaner somewhere at 5:45 on Sunday night. All of that stuff. Brother Bunch is not running wires somewhere to maintain the building or out doing something in the landscape or whatever. We're not at 5:45 on Sunday night. Jesus is in this house. It's worship time. It's time to worship God. And so we're not practicing music. We're not going through our notes for Sunday morning. We're not doing clerical work. We're in the sanctuary because when Jesus is in the house, everything else is all about him. The reason we do all of those things is for him. If we ever lose sight of that, the church just becomes a business. Our meetings just become a club if it's not all about him. Martha wasn't being wicked. She wasn't being evil. I don't believe she was backslidden. She was just busy doing stuff. And listen, you can't knock her. She wasn't out selling drugs, right? She wasn't out stealing or shoplifting. She wasn't in the back room going through all the disciples' wallets, seeing if she could steal a little money, they wouldn't notice. She wasn't in the other room saying, "Come here, Martha, or Mary, come here, let me tell you something. Did you hear what happened?" She wasn't doing that. She was busy serving Jesus and his disciples. And there wasn't anything wrong with serving Jesus and his disciples. This was a time thing. You get what I'm saying? There's a time thing. Solomon would tell us, for everything under the sun. But the most important thing that we will ever do is worship. And when it's time to worship, all of that other stuff gets pushed aside. Now listen, while I've got you all here, all you Sunday morning folks, I want to talk to you just a minute about something. Now listen to me very carefully. On Sunday evenings when we have service, the most important place in the world for you to be is here. Amen. I love you. I'm your pastor. I love you. But I'm very concerned when I see 5 o'clock, 5:30, some of y'all that are here on Sunday morning posting on Facebook where you're going to be Sunday night and it ain't church, at least don't post it on Facebook. Sunday morning, church, 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 Sunday night. Oh, I'm going to the mall. And all your other people are going to church. That's confusing to people. And it's concerning to your pastor. Because this is worship time. Sunday, we have church Sunday morning and Sunday night, and it's worship time Sunday night. Wednesday night, that's not a night off from church. 7:30 Wednesday night, the most important place for you is not the kitchen. It's not the dining room. It's not, you see what I'm saying? It's not pulling weeds outside at Martha's house. I know all that stuff needs done, but listen, we're either putting God first or we're not. You're either putting Him first or not. And I'm getting on some of y'all's nerves, but that's okay. Every once in a while, you need me to do this to you. Because who's going to tell you if I don't? You're not going to go home and look in the mirror and say, "Now, flesh." Amen. Because your flesh likes what you're doing right now. I'm telling you what you need to hear. Wednesday night's Bible study, 7:30. Every Wednesday night, we dig into the Word and we learn. And these videos we're watching, Brother Irvin Baxter, whether you agree with all of his eschatology or not, doesn't really matter. He's sharing some very valid information with us about end time events you need to be aware of. Wow, the picnic's going to be real fun now, I can tell. We went from this to... This is true. What I'm saying is true. Amen. Martha struggled with this. Mary had it figured out. Martha thought all these other things were more important. Mary had it figured out. Okay, let me get into the Word here, because I want to play softball with some of you, and I don't want you trying to kill me with the ball. Yes, amen. Thank you. Or cornhole. Whoops. Poof. See if you're here Wednesday night, Pastor. All right. Let's look at the scripture, and I'll get out of your way here. And she had a sister, verse 39, called Mary, sat at Jesus' feet, heard His word. Martha was cumbered. Now, the word cumbered, it means hindered, weighed down. These are all synonymous words with cumbered. Perplexed, distracted, burdened, troubled. Now, I want to give you that list again because I want you to think about, do you fall into any of these? Don't stand up and shout when I call the one that you, yes, that's me. But do a little self-check here. Cumbered, hindered, weighed down, distracted, perplexed, burdened, or just outright troubled. She was cumbered about much serving. Can you see her? Here Jesus is in there, and Mary's at His feet. The disciples are there, and here's Martha in the kitchen. Brother Barrow, oh, I got to get the rolls. I got to get the rolls in the oven. Oh, I got to get this glaze made for that. And oh, I got to check on this. And oh, she's wiping the sweat with her apron, and she's got flour on her face, and she's running around, and I got to get something to drink out there. And I hope they don't notice this dirty house. Oh, I should have cleaned up. And you know how we do when we're troubled, cumbered about much serving. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do that. You ever have one of those moments where you realize, why am I the only one doing this? There's my sister. And it occurred to her. She knows how to do this. She knows how to do this. She knows how to do this. And she's just in there. And in Martha's mind, all she thought was, my lazy bum of a sister just sitting in there, doing nothing but resting. Now, let me tell you something. Worship is not resting. Worship is showing reverence, praise, adoration, respect, even I could say, because the Word would back me up, a reverential fear. This is the ultimate authority in the world. Mary was sitting at the feet of the one who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The one we sang about a while ago. She was sitting at his feet, but Martha couldn't understand that. Martha was so... Well, before I go there, let me ask you this. What would cause such a blatant disconnect in the mind of Martha? She knows Jesus just like Mary does. She knows all of the same information that Mary has. But what a disconnect here. Instead of looking in the other room, seeing Mary and saying, "Wow, what a worshiper." She says, "Wow, what a lazy sister I have." Instead of thinking, "I'm really being disrespectful to the Lord," all she could think was, "Mary's really being disrespectful to me." And if Jesus really thought about this, I think he would correct her. In fact, Jesus is so busy and has so much on his mind, maybe he just needs a little help to understand what my sister's doing. And so here goes Martha. All she could see was Mary's being lazy. She's being disrespectful to me. So she goes to Jesus and asks, "Jesus, would you please reprimand my sister for making me do all the work?" Now, she's in for quite a little surprise here, isn't she? Jesus doesn't correct Mary. He corrects Martha. Let's look at it. Stay there for just a minute. Let's look at that. She's cumbered about much serving. She comes to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." Correct her. And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Many things. I don't believe he's talking about the rolls in the oven. I don't think he's just talking about the hors d'oeuvres. I don't think he's just talking about the ice water that she's trying to get prepared. I think he says, he looks into the heart of this woman, and all of this little display right now that she's putting on, it's just the epitome, really, of her life. She's distracted from what's important. She's weighed down with all these cares. She's perplexed by life. She's distracted by the worries. She's burdened with so many things. She's hindered from doing that which is needful. And Jesus says, "You are careful and troubled about many things." Be careful with this. Be careful with this, because it's been my experience that what brings a good man or a good woman down is not one big thing, usually. It's many smaller things. I preach a message every once in a while about the danger of incrementalism. There's some scriptures in the Bible that talk about it. One of them talks about the fly in the ointment of the apothecary. It's just a fly. Actually, it says dead flies. Dead flies in the ointment of the apothecary causes it to stink. That which is supposed to be beautiful and fragrant, just a few dead flies. And one might look at a few dead flies and think, just a few dead flies, it's not even really worth trying to dig them out, you know. They get in their ointment, they die. But if you leave dead flies in perfume, what happens? They begin to decompose, and there's a putrefaction process that takes place there. And that mixture of the dead flies and all the nasty junk that they carry around on them, all the germs and microbes start breaking down that oil, that ointment, and instead of the ointment overpowering the flies, all that junk that's there in the flies starts breaking down the ointment, and pretty soon that which is supposed to smell good smells bad. And it all started with just a few little bitty dead flies that nobody thought was significant enough to take care of. And then there's another scripture says, talks about the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not the big foxes you have to be worried about. The big foxes will just go pick the fruit off of the vine and eat the fruit, and the vine will be intact. But the little foxes can't reach the fruit, so they gnaw at the vine, and pretty soon you have nothing because they destroy the whole plant. The little foxes. Another, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and how she works. Even when it's time of plenty, she stores up for the time of want. And then he says, you need to consider the ant, because he says, you talk like this, you think like this. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. He says, so shall your poverty come upon you. As a traveling man, as a thief, so shall your poverty come upon you. How? It's going to creep upon you. Just a little, just another snooze on the alarm, another snooze on the alarm, another snooze. So you don't become late. You don't become an hour late, most of you, by saying, I'm just going to sleep another hour, right? Come on, you snooze button hitters. You know what I'm talking about. You do it 9 minutes at a time. Another nine. How many of you got 9-minute snoozes? Those are deadly. Another nine. And pretty soon nines add up. And you're looking at an hour. And you're late because you just hit. Another nine. And a little folding of the hands, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Many things come against our minds, come against our spirits. It's the children, it's the job, it's the people on the job, it's the sickness, it's the arthritis, it's the allergies. It's that one thing my wife does that she's always done that she just won't quit doing. She knows it drives me crazy. And there's just some weeks that it just, you know what, I'm not talking from experience. I've heard some of you talk about this stuff before. There's just some weeks where that just fingers on a chalkboard, and then some of you ladies are saying that, man, so that's weighing on your mind, and then you just all these many, they just begin to pile on you, and pretty soon we're just trying to go through life like a running back in a football game with the whole opposition team piled on him. We're just trying to get across the finish line, get across the goal line, and we're carrying all this. I just wore myself out describing it. All this junk. Here it is, piled on us. We carry it to work. Somebody else jumps on our back. We come home. Should be a place of respite, peace, a sanctuary. But if we don't keep it that way and pray it that way, and men, maintain that in your home, then something else piles on. Here we are in our marriage. Here we are in our family. Here we are in our home life. Then we come to church. Here we drag it into the church. Come on. Come on, praise team. Do something to motivate me. Come on now. Got all this stuff on my back. You do something, and we expect the praise team to come and knock all this stuff off your back so you can worship. That's not how it works. Come on, preacher. Preach something peppy. Preach something fiery. Get me shouting, because if I shout hard enough, I can shake this stuff. That's not how it works. In fact, I would do you more good sometimes just talking the way we're talking today than have you shouting around the church, because some of you are very adept at shouting with the junk on your back. Whew, glory to God. And then you just drag it all back out with you. Sometimes we need something that says, look, you need to get down to business about this stuff. You've got to shed this stuff. Jesus says, look, you're careful and troubled about many things. You worry about this, and you fret over that, and you stew over this, and you get mad about that, and you get frustrated over this. And your problem isn't Mary worshiping. Your problem is Martha not worshiping. That's your problem. We want to blame everybody else because we're frustrated and we're mad and we're aggravated, and if they would straighten up and if they wouldn't do that, and then it's not everybody else that's your problem. You, sir, you, ma'am, are your biggest problem. Your lack of prayer, your lack of faith, your lack of just shaking things off and praying over things. I'm going to preach with or without you this morning and just tell you that some of you just need to have a good old-fashioned prayer meeting, just you and Jesus, where you say, you know what, devil, I bind you, I rebuke you. You won't have control of my marriage. You won't have control of my kids. You won't have control of my mind. I will not be troubled. I will not be burdened. I will not be weighed down. I will worship Jesus. I will put God first. You're going to have to make up your mind that it is the most important thing in the world. Come on, somebody. Wow. Glory to God. Glory to God. The music's going to go ahead and come, if you would. And so, he says, Martha, you're careful, you're troubled about many things, and you want me to correct your sister, but she's doing that one thing that is needful. You got that scripture there. Luke 18, 22. This is the rich young ruler, remember him? And he comes to Jesus and says, what do I do to inherit eternal life? He's proud of himself because he's got it all going on. He's rich, he's young, he's a ruler. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? None is good save one, that is God. You know the commandment. In other words, to answer your question, you know the commandments, do them. Don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't lie. Honor your father, your mother. And he said very proudly, well, I've done all these since my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Now I'm just telling you, one thing will mess you up. One thing. One thing is needful. One thing is needful. And you can have, so this is interesting to me. Martha is careful and troubled about many things, and it's weighing her down. The rich young ruler, he's not worried about many things. He just has a whole bunch of what he would consider good things. Amen? But here's, you know what? I've talked to a lot of people. I've witnessed a lot of people's lives. And I've talked to people that you would consider to be poor, and they worry about not having this, not having that, not having this, not having that, and how am I going to get this, and how am I going to do that? I've talked to people that most of you would consider very affluent, very rich. You know what they say? I don't know how I'm going to maintain this, and how I'm going to maintain that, and how I'm going to keep this going, and I'm trying to prop this up, and I've got to, somebody might take this, and I may be losing that, and they ask you to pray the same kind of prayer, you know? Pray for my needs. I have needs. The rich have all these worries, and the poor have all these worries, and it's just life. And we got to learn how not to let the cares of life. That's the key. The rich young ruler came and said, I'm doing all that stuff. He says, well, you lack one thing. Go sell everything you have. In other words, what he was saying was, put me first. Let's see how you do with this. You're talking about wanting to go to the next level here, because Jesus was talking to this man at a very interesting time. Testaments, covenants, old and new, were in transition. It's interesting. He's talking to him. He says, under the Old Testament, all you got to do is obey the commandments. Well, I'm doing that. I want to know, what more can I do? That's kind of what his question implied, right? So Jesus said, okay, let me tell you. You're living during a very exciting time. You're talking to the Messiah. You really want to have life? You really want to be saved? Then go get rid of all your junk. Start giving to the poor. Change your lifestyle and follow me. Yes. And the Bible says he was frustrated. He went away discouraged, very sorrowful. Why? Because he was very rich. It's one thing for me to ask you, hey, you got $10? Yeah. Can I have five? Sure, why not? $5, $10. It's another thing when you got 5 million. Can I have 2.5 million? We better pray about this. Huh? Let's stand, shall we? Jesus looked at a bunch of troubled men in the book of John after he had shared with them all these things. One of you going to betray me. Oh, by the way, he says, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be taken from you. And all these troublesome things. And Judas Iscariot has already got up to, and left to betray Jesus. And the rest of the 11's minds are just in a tumult. And Jesus says to these men, interesting words, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And then he goes on and talks to them now about eternal things. For in my Father's house are many mansions. Here's the deal. You can get all wrapped up in this world, or you can get all wrapped up in that world. One world, you will be troubled. You will come to church every service frowning, pouting, frustrated and aggravated. You'll be mad at your boss. You'll be mad at your wife. You'll be mad at your husband. You'll be mad at your kids, because this world has nothing to offer you peace worthy. However, you could get all wrapped up in that world. You could get all excited about that world. Jesus said, in my Father's house, let me talk to you about the eternal side of this whole thing. In this world, in this life, you will have tribulations. He says, but in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. So there's our peace. There's our joy. Amen? It's in the heavenlies. It's in the eternal. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moths eat and thieves steal and rust corrupts, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Praise the Lord. I want to pray for you today. Would you come if you, first of all, I want to give you an opportunity to come. If you just would say, Pastor, you know, I just need prayer because there are things that I'm dealing with, things that are, I'm wrestling with, things that are trying to steal my joy, steal my peace. You don't need to be ashamed of that, because it's a common thing today. But I want to pray over you today. Would you come and stand at this altar if you'd like prayer? If you want prayer for those things. Just if you want prayer. I believe the Lord's going to move here today. I believe God is going to lighten burdens. I believe that God is going to restore some joy. No, I'm going to rephrase that. He's going to restore joy and peace and strength. Amen. I believe God is going to restore smiles to your faces. A little bounce. Wouldn't it be nice, some of you, to have a little bounce in your step? That'd be all right. Wouldn't it be cool to wake up in the morning and say, man, I can't wait to get out of bed. He said, you'll have life more abundantly. You'll have joy unspeakable. You'll have peace that passes understanding. Isn't that what he said? He said, you'll be free indeed. You're getting all these emphatic words. Not just life, life more abundantly. Not just, you won't just be free. Jesus puts an exclamation point on it. You'll be free indeed. Amen. Church, would you reach up to heaven right now and begin to pray? Pray for those that are up here in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, in Jesus' name, I bind every worry, every fear, every frustration, everything that's causing perplexity today. We bind it in the name of Jesus. I bind every spirit that would attack, every spirit of fear and confusion. I bind every distraction in the name of Jesus. I bind that in Jesus' name. God, the things that would cumber our minds, cumber our spirits, We bind it in Jesus' name. We bind everything that's causing us to be frustrated, tired, weary. We bind that in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of attack that comes against my mind, comes against my heart, comes against my spirit, we bind it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The many things that come against us, the many things that come against our peace, that come against our joy, the many things that come against our spiritual health, our mental health, our emotional health, we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind every fear. I bind every perplexity. I bind it. Bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind it in the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, by the work on Calvary's cross, we bind those things. The many things that have us cumbered, the many things that have us worried, the many things that bring us, Lord, to a state of confusion. We bind that in Jesus' name. Come on, church. Please help me pray out there. In the name of Jesus, we're binding spirits right now. Binding spirits of confusion. We're binding spirits, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, that would come against our minds, our peace, our joy. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we take authority over it. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over it. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now, God, come on, everybody, raise your hands to heaven right now. Get ready to receive. Raise your hands to heaven and be ready to receive. In the name of Jesus, God, I loose your joy into the lives of your people afresh. I loose your peace that passes all understanding into the lives of your people anew. Right now, God, we loose life. We loose it in the name of Jesus. We loose freedom in the name of Jesus. Right now, God, rain it down. Bring it down. Put it in them in Jesus' name. Now, come on, pray for yourselves. Pray for yourselves right now to receive it. God, I receive that in Jesus' name. I accept it in the name of Jesus. I claim that. Come on, reach out and claim it in Jesus' name with boldness, with Holy Ghost boldness and assurity. Come on, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. All you've got to do is believe. All you've got to do is believe right now. I believe it, Jesus. You are bigger than my problems. You are bigger than my worries. You are bigger. You're in control. You are God. Come on, would you just worship him now? Would you just worship him at his feet? Just because he's worthy, we worship you, Lord, because you're worthy. Come on, that's it. God's moving in your life right now. God is moving on your life right now. He's moving in your mind. Some of you are beginning to feel things lift right now. Come on, hang on to that. Continue to worship. It's in his spirit. It's in his presence. There's fullness of joy in his presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody here is wrestling with the question, how? You don't disagree with the message, you're just wondering how. God told me to tell you it's his grace. Through his grace, worship him right now just because of his grace. Not because you can or can't. It's not about you. It's about him. His grace is going to see you through. His grace is going to grace you with peace and joy, life, freedom. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Mighty God, mighty God. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Come on, don't discount the power of the presence of the Lord. God can do a mighty work in just a moment. In just a moment. A miraculous moment. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Okay, listen to Pastor for just a minute here. Listen to Pastor just a minute. I'm going to let you go. Now, I'm telling you, I'm not against psychologists. I'm not against counselors. I believe they have their place. But just a moment in the presence of the Lord can do miracles. It does not take God sessions. But just, does anybody know what I'm talking about when I talk about a miraculous moment? It just happens. You feel it happen. That happened in lives this morning. But I want to give you one word of counsel, okay? Some of us have become so accustomed to living in frustration that we speak in frustration without even knowing it. Frustration speech is... it's just complaining. It's criticizing. It's negative. We go out of a service like this and all we can talk about is it was too cold, it was too hot. Or we talk about people, or we complain about it was too loud, it wasn't loud enough, it was too long, it was... we go out into the world and we get frustrated with that driver's doing wrong and that cashier's doing wrong. And I'm preaching to myself right now too. But listen, we got to change the way we talk, okay? God's touched you this morning, but we cannot bind spirits of frustration and then go out and start complaining. So I'm going to give you some advice here. When you leave here today, some of you are going to leave and it's just going to be just like the person who cusses habitually. You know, you ever been around somebody, every other word out of their mouth is a cuss word, and they come to church and they pray and they get an experience with God and they go out and all of a sudden they go out there and they say a cuss word. Why? Because they've cussed for 38 years and it's in them. You're going to go here, you're going to get to the picnic today and sit down and somebody's going to want to say, these baked beans are awful. It's in you. I'm telling you, it's in you. Don't say that. It might be my wife's baked beans you're talking about. Just kidding. She didn't bake any baked beans. But you see my point. So every time you feel the urge to complain, hear me. I want you to say, praise the Lord. Will you try that? So take a bite of the baked beans and say, praise the Lord. You don't have to lie. You don't have to say, these are great baked beans. You just have to say, praise the Lord. At the picnic, I recommend you do this quietly, okay? You might be sitting across the person who baked the beans, praising the Lord about their beans. Amen. If you get struck out today in softball, what are you going to say? Praise the Lord. Or you might even throw in a good job pitch in there, Pastor, because I might be pitching. Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody cut you off in traffic, what are you going to say? Are you going to hold me accountable to this, Cindy? She's back there like, oh, yes, this is going to be fun. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. Hey, we're going to get going here about noon at Flatwoods Park. Come on out. Bring your dishes. And we're going to have a good time in the Lord today. Amen. Hey, bring your smiles with you. That looks good on you. Praise God. You're dismissed.
Sorry. Is it playing?